So many hands. Sorry, blinded by the light for a moment. Don't know which ones went up first. I'm going to...
Kim, do you want to put that thing in front of it?
So the...
Yes.
Can we turn this projector off if it's not needed?
Thank you. Lights! One moment for technical adjustments. Thank you. Hold on. I've got Dan first, then Campbell. Revelin, Teresa, I saw you. Okay. Heather.
Right next to you.
Sorry, Ollie. Yes, it's that blind spot right over here on the left. Oh, yes, now we'll be blinded by the light coming that way. Okay. Are we there? Okay.
Oh, yeah, the mic.
Totally. Thank you, Bernard, so much for your presentation. And we do have questions from the board, so I will go ahead. Dan?
Great. Bernard, thank you for your presentation. I like the content and the presentation of it. My question is, it's a pretty broad one, and it really, I'd like to know your thoughts about the future of KPFK and Pacifica in terms of today's audience and the audience of the future. Is our problem a problem that's essentially endemic to radio? Is there a way to grow radio audiences in 2012 and forward? Or do we need to focus on digital media in order to regain or build an audience?
Thanks, Dan. It is a huge question. I've got a bunch of thoughts on a lot of that stuff. I don't think radio is going away anytime soon. You know, I think when television came along, everybody said cinema was dead. When television came along, people said radio was dead. And radio didn't die. It hung around. It might be a little sick, but it didn't die. And it did hang around, and it's still there, and I think it will continue to be there. The terrestrial radio, the way we operate now, is portable. It's one of its major positives. It offers input from the listening audience that you don't see happening on other media, apart from, you know, on the web, generally speaking. But I do think we need to very seriously focus on what we do with digital technology in terms of the Internet. I don't know if you're thinking about digital radio, and I know that in Texas that there is the digital stream that they have available there. I did a lot of work on digital radio in New Zealand when we were looking at getting into that part of the band, and we were following the likes of Germany and Japan and the UK in terms of trying to set that up. Germany, as I understand it, has abandoned digital radio now. They pulled back out because the penetration just wasn't sufficient for them to make a significant impact. In Britain, it was a little different because the BBC partnered with a manufacturer and brought receiver prices down to less than a third of what they would normally be, and they sold out. I think while we need to concentrate on the future, what we're doing now, I think, has the potential to continue to build audience in a terrestrial way. And I mean, you know, now that and Ali Lexa ran for the PNB on a platform of technology and the better use of technology to take us forward, and I think that's hugely important that we do that. My thoughts for the future of an organization like Pacifica and the stations that we have is to continue to maintain and increase that diversity that we're able to offer, because it's our difference, it's our absolute point of difference. And I think that if we continue to do that and we make a concerted focus on the young people, on the young audience, and build that youth audience, I think that's where our future will lie.
Thank you, Bernard. Next one is Campbell. I've got a whole stack. You're on it.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for a wonderful presentation. There are perhaps a dozen areas in which I may be calling you about and asking questions, but one thing that I was very much interested in, and I think we will be engaging more so during the course of this board meeting, is in regard to Spanish language programming and its import, and it's certainly pleasant to find out that you were able to have a town hall meeting, Spanish language town hall meeting. Do you see that maybe a lot of the Spanish language or other language engagements can be more effectively, insofar as bringing community, accomplished by bilingual kinds of efforts, or do you just go straight to that language?
My personal feeling on that is that bilingual broadcasting is a hugely powerful medium, and I think that that's very important. However, I hasten to add that our Spanish language programming has a very dedicated audience that is very close to it all the time, and I just wanted to note as well on that score that that our Spanish language programmers are very active in their communities, and when they plan an outreach event for their programmers, it's meticulously organized, and they're very good at that. You know, these are the programmers who work for us. And so we learn a lot from those things. For my way of thinking, because of the number of languages that are represented in the community today, we need to broaden perhaps the way we can address those, but also I think that the bilingual approach is a very positive one. Yeah.
If I may follow on, just a quick second here. Boy, she's quick. In that regard, I know that I very much enjoy the bilingual and foreign language presentations as I try to understand and better and everything like that. But do you find any interest per se in having instructional engagement for people who are learning this other language?
I think that's an important concept to explore. Yeah, certainly. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Next on the stack is Revelin. I've got you. You're in queue. Go ahead, Revelin. Thank you.
Hello.
Is this mic hot?
Is this mic on? Okay. I want to also thank you for a wonderful presentation. I'm on the pledge team at WPFW. And what that is something that the general manager set up. As soon as one pledge drive is over, we just continue to meet. We talk about the pledge drives and see how they can be better and set goals and things like that, so that when the programmers, say, listen, we don't think we can do it again this time. It's too tight, and our listeners are, like, rebelling. Then they have a group of people that can hear that and talk about alternatives and talk about better outreach. So listening to your presentation, and there were very good ideas. There are also very good ideas in our pledge team, and I'm just, like, wondering, is there a point where these families can get together and actually can you be conferenced into some of our pledge team meetings and vice versa, because it's one family. You know, families can either work together to, you know, really, really transcend a lot of obstacles, or they can continue to function as individual brothers and sisters and cousins and don't get so far. And I just think we're at a point where we must work together because of the generational task that is in front of us to fill that gap, and the whole bilingual thing. And I'd like to send you something I wrote on that also. There's just so much. We're doing it over here. You might need it over there. You're doing something over there we may need. And I just would like to say, let's work to try to pull that together.
Thank you. I think it's a great idea. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bernard. Next is Teresa.
Thank you for a great presentation. I have two questions. The first question has to do with the green. You said you mentioned Greenpeace and a canvas, how you hope to increase your visibility through a canvas. Can you elaborate a little bit on that? What is that canvas? Sending people door to door or what? And then the other thing is, you have this beautiful, beautiful community radio station in Santa Barbara, and you're a big fish, and we have decided that you're a community. KPFK's decided that we're a community radio station in Santa Barbara. That's our community. So what have you done to work with that beautiful community radio station to show collaboration with them, rather than if they turn their back, you might just swallow them up?
Nothing in nothing specific, but I mean, some of my team who I see to my left here will probably be in a better position to answer that. But we've talked at some length about having a bigger presence from time to time in Santa Barbara, and I know that at some of the LSB meetings that we have, calls often come for us to actually move those LSB meetings out into some of the areas where we have translators and additional transmission. Santa Barbara is one of those places. I appreciate you bringing the issue up, and it's something that we can certainly concentrate on, and I would like to do that. I forgot what your first question was.
Well,
canvassing.
I want to remind you, I do feel it's the big fish's responsibility to show good faith and collaborate and actually help them, because they are our most viable station. I've been to grassroots radio meetings, you know, that they organize, and it's just a great station.
Mm, good, good.
And the other one was about the canvas.
Yeah, it is exactly as you describe it. This is a group that has done work knocking door to door, a fundraising organization, also on street corners the way those other organizations do it, just to raise awareness to be armed with very, very good material about the station, about what it does, about what it's capable of doing, and about the membership and how that works. And you know, we expect to probably annoy a few people in the process, because that's what that sort of fundraising does. But we're of the view that it's probably got a bigger payoff than an annoyance factor. And we're working through the legalities of all of that right now.
Thank you, Bernard. Next, we have Ali. Ali, you're next. Let me give you a microphone.
I have three questions. The first one is about the transmitter. It's a little confusion. If you have the specific information, it's just an attempt to get some clarity. It's not anything to... It's no sort of an attack. Yesterday, we found that there was a $180,000 surplus, of which $91,242 was used for this Neutel NV20 backup transmitter. Correct? So, from my understanding, this is a backup transmitter, and now we're running this backup transmitter as our primary transmitter while the Armstrong is being repaired. Is this correct?
That's correct.
And at the same time, our electricity generator, which sat up there for many years because it didn't have a permit, is now has the permit, and we have some way to remotely enable that generator.
Yep.
If our energy goes out.
That's correct.
Okay, so my question is, you hinted towards buying another Neutel transmitter. Would that be another $91,242 cost?
Indeed it would.
What is the timeline for this, or can we use the Armstrong along with the Neutel and push this back a bit, because this is a substantial expense coming up very quick?
There isn't a timeline on it because of exactly that, for exactly that reason. We can't link the Armstrong and the Neutel. They're not compatible with one another. I'm not an engineer, Ali, so I'm telling you to the best of my knowledge. And the situation with the way the new Neutels are configured is that if you run two of them in tandem,
right,
then they have the effective radiated power that the Armstrong currently has, but when one falls off, there's not an appreciable drop in transmission. The other one just takes over.
Right, I understand that they can work in tandem. So for right now, once the Armstrong is repaired, we would switch that back as our primary one, which can operate at 110, and use the Neutel as our backup, so we have some sort of a fail-safe,
yeah,
redundancy.
That's exactly right. But now we're in a position where the Neutel comes on stream immediately that the Armstrong fails, if it fails. That's, you know, when it's working, of course.
So do you know for now, while we're on the Neutel, what kind of power we're running at?
We're about 56,000 watts.
56,000. Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Second question. In your report on the fundraising, we have a fulfillment estimate here of 66% for the last two drives. That's quite considerably lower than we've had in the past. We used to have about an 80% fulfillment rate. Can you talk about that, and maybe any ideas, perhaps phone banking or other ways to increase our fulfillment on those?
We're talking about exactly that. In fact, that you're right, that fulfillment rate is actually disappointing. But if you look back over the past, the 80% rate has actually come up over a number of months, and in some cases a stretch of as much as 6 months, you know, looking back over those figures back over the years. So I'm hopeful, but I'm not anticipating that we'll come up to 80% on those fund drives. I think we'll probably break 70, 75. But at the moment, what we need to do is figure out what it's like to work through with the department that's as swamped as the membership department. We've looked at actually calling donors, making pledge recalls, and trying to get the numbers up in that way.
Well, if I could suggest, in the past when we've had low fulfillment, we've actually had calls for volunteers, including LSB members, come into the phone room. We've set up phone banking where we've called people just to thank them for their pledge and just to remind them that they haven't sent it in. We'd appreciate it. And it worked reasonably well, and it did get the percentage up about 15 or 20% higher. I'd suggest that as something to consider.
Appreciate it.
And the third question was, which way was the room then?
The room?
Was it 628?
Oh. It was. If you went round towards 627, it was tucked right in around the corner. Past. I don't know if you ever read Harry Potter, but it was like platform 7.5.
Oh,
it was
secret room.
I did find it, but thanks for your concern.
Okay.
It's like the 13th floor in the hotel, right? Bill Kosher, you're next, please.
Thank you so much. You know, for accepting the job first. You know, we attract Pacific all in all of our stations. We attract frustrated people, I think, and who are passionate, but we all sometimes we're hard to work with. So thank you for taking on the job. It's really important. And also, I do encourage you to continue discussing some of these things you brought up, like reaching out to young people, digital distribution, how to, you know, attract other more demographics, increase leadership with the rest of the other GMs and PDs. And I know you have regular conference calls with Arlene and the other GMs, but we need to share information on things like that. And then just one quick question. Can you email us that vision that you presented up there? I'd like
Absolutely,
to
yeah.
share that with some other people.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ken is next.
Well, no, I'll talk to you about it.
Yeah, and thank you very much for the warm reception we had last night. It's very, very cordial. Mostly for the benefit of the listeners on the stream, could you expound or describe the relationship we have with the Pacifica Radio Archives?
We have a very close relationship with the Pacifica Radio Archives, and as you're aware, they're only a floor away. We feel a little bit spoiled in that regard, that we do have ready access, and that we our two staffs mix very cordially.
And is the station financially? And they're on the second floor, and so I mean, just for the stream, so you're obligated. They depend on us for the facilities,
accommodation, yeah,
and their utilities. So that's it's an added responsibility for the station, correct?
Yes, although it's yes, it is. But in saying that, you know, the Pacifica Radio Archives are supported by all the stations through central services, and so everybody contributes to that. And as far as I'm aware, there's not a prorating of utilities for that matter. But you know, we have the space in the building, and so and we don't want to let go of that archive. And so we will hang on to it very tightly as we can. Interim Program Director Alan Minsky and Brian DeShazer, the director of the archive, and myself have actually just been recently talking to about reestablishing an airtime for the weekly product that they provide for us too, which is currently a podcast. That's the From the Vault program.
That's a successful program.
I think it's great. And if you haven't heard it, I would encourage you to listen to the podcast. It's quite sensational radio. It's very well put together. But yeah, a very close and cordial relationship, and they're welcome as long as they want to stay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ken.
It's very good.
Thank you, Ken. Alex is next.
I wanted to ask you about your remark, which I certainly agree with, that we spend far too much time on fun drives and interrupting our basic programming, which leads to listener fatigue. This is, of course, a problem that's pretty general throughout the network. And I come from WBAI, where perhaps we have the worst case of this problem. And many of us have been brainstorming for a long time as to what to do about it. I certainly agree that this fundraising model is, if it's not completely dead, it's pretty close to going to the emergency room. And we really have to come up with something different. Now, you mentioned major donor contributions, and that's, of course, something that should be pursued. But I think that more fundamental is cultivating a different kind of listeners who are much more in tune with the station and much more willing to participate and to contribute both time and money. And that to do that, I think will involve some major programming changes. And that's what we've all been grappling with. How do we do that? I've heard lots of criticism about too many fun drives and let's do something about it, but I never seem to get any concrete plan of action as to how that is going to happen. And I'm wondering if you have some thoughts on that matter. I don't expect you to come up with a blueprint just like that, but any considered thoughts would be appreciated.
Look, Alex, I think what we need to do is, I mean, we kind of know what we have. What we need to know is what we don't have. And, you know, being able to guess tomorrow's fashion would, you know, would mean you could retire very young, of course. But but what we need, and what we are doing as part of the program evaluation, is actually asking our programmers right now, what aren't we doing? You know, we know what we are doing, what aren't we doing? And I want to actually extend that to, I want to make that, you know, we want to get out right around the audience and ask them what they think we should be doing that we're not doing. And part of that will be, we'll be thinking smarter about what we broadcast and where we broadcast it. And I allude again back to the answer to Dan's question about the internet and how we get onto that. But I also think it is imperative, hugely important to us now to reach out to the younger people. And we have, you know, a bunch of extremely good community colleges around Southern California that we can get access to, and we can get into those, and we can get people involved in internship programs. And having those people in the building actually gives you a new energy as well, particularly when they've got, you know, these people come in with sensational ideas. Some of them will never work, but you never want to crush that, because, you know, they keep coming up with them, and when they're around, they're revitalizing. And I think that the answer for us actually is to focus in that zone and to try and keep the diversity as wide as we can.
Thank you, Bernard. Nia, you're next.
Thanks very much for your report. Hello, this working? And for your warm hospitality. Just a quick question for you. Would you be open to English to Spanish programming?
I'm not sure I understand.
From English to Spanish, translating?
Yeah. It's a difficult question, not one that I can easily answer right now. I mean, we're open to looking at any idea, and I think that's probably a very good idea. And I noticed that, you know, we can take a lead from Democracy Now! On this, who currently have their headlines in Spanish available on a couple of outlets, yeah. And so I guess that's something to look at, yeah.
Right.
Thank you. Carolyn, you're next.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your, again, hospitality. And I do appreciate that. A couple of things. One about the bilingual programming. I've only heard two producers at WBAI do bilingual programs really well, interspersing Spanish and English with no break in the flow, really intelligent pacing. And they were very good. Mario Murillo is one. He's no longer on our air, but he's at Stony Brook and has his own program elsewhere. And Felipe Luciano, he does a great job on it. Doesn't do it all the time, but when he does, the bilingual translation. And I'm sure other stations have an example of something done extremely well. I know that the GMs and the PDs get together once a week on the phone, but I'm wondering if you would consider perhaps a task force to deal with one item, for instance, the bilingual program. Mm. The fulfillment, we've done a great job at BAI at increasing our fulfillment rate, and I'm sure that they could help a bit, Bertolt could, with you all and other stations, and I'm sure you do some things with that we could share. So another, I'm thinking in terms of specific task forces. Another item I'm looking at is the partnering with other organizations. We don't do that at BAI. Other stations do that really well. And two or three people getting together from all five stations. So I'm wondering if that model, instead of a weekly meeting of everybody doing everything, could not help all of the stations, because I know you have a lot to offer us. Thank you.
I'm sure it could. Yeah, I'm sure it could.
Thank you, Carolyn. Heather, you're next.
Thanks, Summer. Is this working?
Yep.
Oh, okay. So as someone who is a dual American and Australian citizen.
Never mind.
Yeah, you know, you're a neighbor. So welcome, and thanks so much for your presentation. So a couple of things. One is that I noticed at the end of that tunnel, there was a light.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, that first tunnel, there was a light at the end of it, so I thought I was impressed with that. And I also appreciate your comments about wanting to reach out to new audiences and so forth and bringing in. We've been talking about that at the national level as well, actually, ways that we could do that, something that's different to promote Pacifica and its stations. And the affiliate stations. I am an affiliate director. But I'm going to repeat my question earlier that I asked the board chair about plans for this year, the election year. Do you all have anything particular you're thinking of doing along that line?
Do you want to field that? Well, I mean, we're in the middle of discussion about the conventions right now. But I guess that will be something that it's probably something that we need to address on a network level as well, and you know, get Arlene's involvement and how she sees the election coverage as the Pacifica network occurring, because we need to draw on the strengths that everybody has so that we're not stretching any one or two of us too broadly. But I'm not sure that there are any firm plans in place right now.
Sorry, logistics. Thank you. Are you done, Heather?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Afia, you're next.
My name is Afia Wangaza. I'm the founder and general manager for WMXP, low power FM station in Greenville, South Carolina. And we often, and I represent Pacifica affiliates. We often simulcast, actually, KPFK programming, and I note that while it works great for us, since we're an African-centered station, that it appears that all of your black programming is has been segregated to Saturdays. And when I looked at the change that you had listed on your grid, I didn't see any African-focused programming. So I'm curious as to how you integrate communities of color into your programming as you presented a sensitivity to Maoris and others and people of color in New Zealand. That's my first question. And then the second is training, whether or not you all have a training program to ensure that communities of color develop the capacity to participate in the station and to benefit from the CPB funds that are awarded to Pacifica based on the participation of people of color.
Thank you. I think the one word I would use is mainstreaming. I think that, you know, our program, our weekly programs are mainstreamed and bring in the issues from every community that is available to us in our listening area, and they're not separated out or segregated out or whatever word you would like to use in that respect, but they are mainstreamed through. And so those issues of the communities of color and the other communities of interest throughout the community and various other groups are represented in the mainstream through those public affairs programs. There is a particular focus on a Saturday afternoon with Assumpta and with Didon. That's right. That's through that area. That's kind of the programs that fit together of that type there. But generally speaking, we mainstream across the week. I'm interested in the question about how, in my experience in New Zealand, is that's the approach that's taken in New Zealand with the Māori population too. There is a Māori network in New Zealand, a television network, but the main public broadcaster in New Zealand broadcasts a mainstreamed program of interest to the mainstream audience, of whom some are ethnic minorities. So that's the approach that we use during the week at KPFK, is to actually look at those issues as issues rather than race-based or ethnic-based issues.
Is that to say that you do not recognize the fact that it's essential that communities speak in their own voice, identify their own issues?
Oh, no, we certainly recognize that. Yeah.
Okay. Training?
The training aspect, we do run training programs through the station in a variety of disciplines, and they are open to everyone who wants to come in and make use of them. There are a number of smaller communities that take advantage of those things.
Is there any particular outreach?
Not in particular. Thanks, Bella.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm especially interested in the fate of Some of Us Are Brave, because there is a longstanding tendency in this country to make black women invisible. And Some of Us Are Brave is one of the few programs on radio anywhere that has a consistent focus on women of African descent. WBAI, of course, has the annual Women's History Month, but as programming itself, Some of Us Are Brave is the standard.
Appreciate that. Thank you very much. Can you and I dialogue on this separately as well?
Of course.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other questions from board members for KPFK's general manager? Okay. Thank you so much, Bernard, for your excellent presentation and answering everyone's questions.